What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Trust this would encourage you, my friends. And just, of course, the prayer time, midweek service always, you know, the Lord tends to guide me to a prayer-type sermon. And so, of course, today is no exception. But the title of this night's message, Praying is Hard Work. Praying is hard work. And what I mean by that is truly praying the way that God instructs us and desires us to pray. It is a labor. It is hard work, not just work. It is hard work. And, you know, if we think that praying is like going to the spa, you know, I'm sorely mistaken. You know, and I understand, you know, yes, prayer is a wonderful thing. It's amazing. It's needful. It's beneficial. But it is tough work. In fact, case in point, coming to church tonight is tough. I mean, it's cold outside, you know, it's dark, but it does take effort to come here to congregate, to worship God and to praise Him and to pray. And so that's why to understand that prayer is hard work is not to discourage us, but is to prepare us, to arm our minds with the right mindset. Otherwise, you know, I get, you know, caught up where I don't pray as often as I should. And so with that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 15. We'll start there. Romans 15, and then verse 30 towards the end. Romans chapter 15, and of course, closing out his letter to the believers there at Rome. And Paul says this, of course, under inspiration of God, and therefore to you and I today. But Romans 15, look at verse 30, as Paul kind of caps up his, you know, his instructions to them. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit," wow, "that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. And Lord, what a wonderful, yet humbling and challenging admonition, charge, and a challenge from the Word of God to strive, to pray, to really, really pray, because praying is hard work. And so, Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, for the calling of prayer. But let us not take it for granted, Lord. Let us not take it lightly. It is an undertaking, Lord, of work and labor of love. And so, Father, I ask, again, Holy Spirit of God, anoint these lips of clay that I would speak what you were happy to say, Father. Hide me behind the cross. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and have all the preeminence. And let us always purpose in our mind to be praying for one another and to be praising you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, prayer is not just asking God for stuff, okay? God is not a vending machine. You know, it's not, I need more money, so that's let's see, B1, that's more money. Or I could get my car fixed. I think that's E4. Or, well, I'm a little sick right now. C8, that's for healing. And so that God is not a vending machine. And then when it doesn't, you know, give us what we want, we kind of kick it or tilt it. That's not the point. Prayer should not just be our last-ditch effort, you know, when nothing else works, when all else fails, well, nothing else to do, well, might as well just pray. It should be the first thing we do, right? And so to understand true prayer, and this is even just part of the intro, but just true prayer is praising God. It's not about us. It's about God, His will, not my will. It's about prioritizing God. You know, prayer, Lord willing, should be the first thing we do, not the last, after we've exhausted every other avenue. And oftentimes, the reason that we don't pray, at least the reason why I don't pray many times, is because if I perceive that it's something that I can do, well, then I got it. Okay, there's no big deal. Don't have to pray about it. I'll just do it. In other words, I'm trusting myself to do it. But if it's something that's beyond me, then I pray. You know, like, you know, going to work, no big deal, I got this. But then getting fired, now I don't have this. Now, Lord, now I better pray. Or maybe I got diagnosed with cancer. Oh, no, this is a big one. No, Lord, you better take care of this one. And so I can catch myself. The times I don't pray is the times, to my shame, I'm trusting myself. And sometimes God has to humble me to get me to trust in Him. But may I always prioritize God, always praise God, always prioritize God, so I trust God, not myself. And then prayer is also preferring God. In other words, God's will over my own. I'm surrendering my will and my desires, putting them last, putting God's will first, His desire first. I am decreasing so that God can increase. I am abasing myself. I'm humbling myself. Now, if we are to pray without ceasing, always have a faithful prayer routine. Okay, that's what it means. But again, to be praying throughout the day with an attitude of prayer, it can get quite exhausting to humble yourself all day to make sure that God is the one leading you and that we are in the, not the driver's seat, we are in the back seat. You know, it takes a conscious effort to do that. And so just imagine doing that all day, you know, surrendering. By the way, it also means if I'm seeking God's will first to prefer Him, it also means I'm okay giving my time to God, giving my time to God. And not just my quote-unquote free time, okay, that I'm nothing else to do. But more important than that, my prime time. And prayer is not just giving my leftover time to God. It's my prime time that I give to God. In other words, start the day in prayer, perhaps middle of the day, get a lunch break or whatever the case is. But otherwise, in my mind, I might consider it productive time. Not just idle time that, hey, I got some spare time, I'll sneak in a prayer. But a prime time slot. To dedicate that to the Lord, to prefer God's will over my own. True prayer is, I'm just sharing, and in fact, this kind of came up in my Tuesday pastor prayer call, which has been such a blessing to me. One of the pastors was his turn to give the devotion, and, you know, he said, you know, fellas, to truly pray, it's tough. It's tough work. And we'll see some examples about that. To truly pray the way God wants us to, okay? To pray just cutting corners, no big deal. Lord, I pray for everyone. Okay, and then where was I? You know, no, but to really, really pray, it's tough, you know? Not just for someone who's maybe not a lot going on, but even especially for those who are busy with lots going on. I mean, it's tough to pray. And so, number one, we need to understand that prayer is hard work. True prayer is hard work. Look at the context that Paul brings up here in verse 30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, we get to the first half towards the end of the message, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye, what's that word? Strive. Strive together with me. So Paul's in it. He says, come on, join the fight. Strive with me in what? Your prayers to God for me. That word strive there means to earnestly contend, to work at. It has the connotation of wrestling, okay, to kind of grapple and overcome, to fight, to really pursue. And the context certainly is a physical endeavor, okay? Yes, prayer is a spiritual activity. It is. In fact, you can argue that is the most spiritual thing that you can do is pray. That's a pretty good dissertation. You want to take that on. But the idea is, it is a spiritual activity. It is a spiritual work, but it does take physicality. I mean, you are physically doing something. And the idea to strive here, I think of Jacob wrestling. You know, to strive with God, to wrestle and not let the angel go till let God go till he was blessed and found favor with God to prevail. And what a testimony. And don't have to turn there, but let me just read. I just pulled up just two verses. I mean, there's so many others. But when Scripture uses the word strive, like, for example, Exodus 21 in the law, verse 18, and it speaks about here, if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, right hook, and he die not. I mean, it talks about the law of two Israelites getting into a fight. Okay, so they strive together. And so that is a physical fight. And this is what Paul is saying. Hey, strive together with me in your prayers. And so it is a real struggle. And put up a fight. This is because you're going to feel like not wanting to do it because it's hard work. in fact, you know, if you ever get, you know, I like to watch, you know, boxing matches or mixed martial arts, you know, but the idea is, you know, you're in the octagon, you're in the ring. It could be just a two-minute bout. It seems like eternity because you're exhausted. You're like, but again, it takes a lot of endurance. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of heart, but it's to fight it out, to slug it out. Psalm 35, verse 1, the Bible says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. And so they're fighting against the psalmist. Fight against them that fight against me, you know. And so this is his desire. And so the idea for God to intervene, but again, strive is used in Scripture over and over and over again for a physical contest. It's fighting, it's wrestling, it's a physical thing. And this is a big reason why prayer tends not to happen, at least not as much as it ought to in our lives. It's not that I don't believe in the power of prayer. I do. But at the end of the day, it's hard work, kind of like exercising and working out. Oh, I believe working out is super beneficial, but I don't do it because it's hard work. I'm just saying, you know, it's easier to eat cake, right? I'm just speaking honestly. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm anti-working out. I want to work out more. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's all the benefits you can list them for weight training, endurance training, cross training, whatever. I mean, these are all good things, but it takes effort. It takes work. And so I don't want to do it. Because no pain, no gain. Well, I'll stay away from the pain. I mean, that's kind of idea, but it is hard work. If you go to Colossians, here's an example from Epaphras. And so let's go to Colossians chapter 4. He is the pastor of the Colossian church, and Paul writes about him. He's not there at the time of his writing, but he mentions him. So let's go to Colossians chapter 4, and then verse 12. Notice this, speaking about prayer, the Word of God says, Epaphras, Paul's writing about him, who is one of you guys, your minister, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Right? Yeah, in the battlefield, spiritual warfare, that's a military term, to salute. Always laboring fervently for you in what? Prayers. I mean, when I read this, always laboring fervently for you, I mean, initially I'm thinking in maybe some kind of a building project. Maybe he's doing some kind of fundraising. He's going door to door and asking for donations. No, it's prayers. But it's used in a context that refers to physical striving. I mean, it is work. Prayer is hard work. And so he labored fervently. So really, he's really grinding it out. I mean, it's exhausting to really, really pray for those that God would burden to your heart, to really, really pray for all the saints. I mean, it's exhausting for lost loved ones to get saved. It you pour your heart out to God. It's emotionally draining. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What a minister. You know, he wanted the Colossians to blossom, to be mature Christians. And he was so caught up. I mean, he cared so much that he prayed for them fervently. In fact, not just them. He also prayed for, you know, neighboring Christians. Look in verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. And so, I mean, it's kind of if you look at the map, kind of the tri-city area at that time. But nonetheless, Epaphras, on his prayer list, he had his own church people. But then he was even praying for brother so-and-so over here, sister so-and-so over there, and really, really praying for God's will in their life, for them to grow in their walk with God, laboring fervently. And so when I read that, laboring fervently, to me, it's faithful, it's consistent. It's when he doesn't feel like it, even when he was, maybe he's tired, maybe he's drained, but he still makes himself pray for them. That is a fight. Remember to put on the whole armor of God. Why do we put on the whole armor of God? So that we can pray, right? That's what it says. Once you have all the armor pieces on, we charge out to the battlefield by how? Dropping to our knees and praying. This is the great spiritual warfare that we are in. You know, and prayer is how we fight. We fight by praying. It takes effort. It takes work. But it's because it is hard work. Praying is tiring. Now, I'm not telling us all this to discourage us. There's light at the end of we'll get there, okay? But for right now, prayer is hard work. Prayer is tiring. And these are kind of good realizations for myself, you know, because sometimes I think, boy, why aren't I praying more? Well, because it's downright exhausting. If you go to Matthew 26, you can probably guess where I'm going. When the Lord Jesus Christ needed their prayers the most, they were sleeping on the job. And so Matthew 26, of course, this is Peter, James, and John. But Matthew 26, let's go to verse 39. We'll start there. Matthew 26, verse 39. And prayer is hard work. It's downright tiring and exhausting. Look at this. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Of course, Jesus, the context here is 1 hour is not long. That's what he means. And come on, Peter, did you get 5-10 minutes in and you fell asleep? Watch and pray, because this is the lesson to the disciples, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, because prayer is tiring. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And Jesus, of course, here he's yielding his will to God the Father. And look at verse 43. And he came and found them asleep again. Now again, this is not to put them down. That's me. Asleep on the job I'm so tired. I think of Epaphras. He would be zealously, fervently praying. Amen. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he unto his disciples. Now this is the third time, and yes, they are still asleep. Or at least he fell back asleep. So each time he comes, he corrects them to wake up, and then they doze off again. So 3 times, not just once, not just twice, 3 times they fall asleep. And of course, is asleep on now. At that point, well, the window of praying is done. Here comes Judas. But nonetheless, that's the point to be taken. Prayer is hard work. It's exhausting. In fact, not just that, prayer can be literally quite painful. If you go to Luke chapter 22, while the disciples were sleeping, prayer, this is how it impacted the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in agony, the Bible says. And so let's go to Luke 22. Again, this is when he is, talk about wrestling and striving. He is yielding his will to the Father. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, was under so much duress, emotional and mental duress or stress or agony, that it literally affect him physically. And so let's go to Luke 22. And then verse 44 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. I mean, this is amazing what our Lord did. The prayer to submit his will. He did not want to become sin, to be crucified. He knew what the Father's will was. His personal will was, oh boy, let this cup pass from me. But it's not God's, not his will, but God's will be done. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The idea is the stress was so overwhelming that there's a medical condition to it where the blood vessels can even rupture. And you can literally sweat blood. And that was what's happening to our Lord. Prayer is not just exhausting and tiring. It's literally painful sometimes, literally blood, sweat, and tears. that was what the Lord labored to save you and I. Of course, his crucifixion on the cross. But prayer is all that. It is serving. Okay, it is work and ministry. Go back with me to Luke chapter 20, Luke 2 actually. Luke chapter 2. This is Anna. This is her testimony. Not much is said about Anna, but what little is said is very what a blessing. But let's go to Luke chapter 2 and then verse 37. Speaks about Anna here, the old widow. Says, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And so prayer is service. It's laboring, yes, but it's serving God. Again, fastings means that that was part of the prayer. So it's super prayer when she's fasting. But prayer, you can make a case for it, is the most spiritual thing that we can do is pray. And so the point here, so if prayer is hard work, if it's exhausting, if it's tiring, if it's even painful and unpleasant, how in the world, Lord, can I pray the way I should? Well, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4, because the Bible tells us, since prayer is work, we need to have the mind to work. And so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4. Back in our Old Testaments, Nehemiah chapter 4, of course, this is the work of building the wall, but kind of the same parallel here. I'd like to draw our attention to verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's go to verse 6. And notice this now, the work is not prayer, although they did pray, but the work here is building the wall. But same application. So built we the wall. Now, this is amazing because the wall did not come up on its own, right? Everyone knows that. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? How did it happen? For the people had a mind to work. Now, it was obvious because it's a wall. Everyone in the brother knows the wall is not going to build itself. So the only way it's going to happen is they purpose to do it. And they knew they were not going on a vacation. They knew this wasn't just some, you know, fun project. This was building a wall. It was fraught with danger. Build with one hand, arm with the other arm. I mean, it was a big deal because they were attacked. They were threatened, and so. But they had the mind to work. They knew what they were getting into. They knew what building a wall is. If we have the mind to work about prayer, same context. The idea is, you know, if you go to work, you don't just go there, you know, without thinking about it. You wake up, you get dressed, and then you go to work. It is, you have the mind to work. You're not just going to accidentally show up at work. No, you're going to work, and then you work through the day because you have the mind to work. Prayer is the same thing. Yes, we have the blessings and the benefits of prayer, but prayer is hard work. When we understand that we have, you know, we're not just going on a vacation. Yes, it is the secret hiding place with God, but it is still hard work. It took dedicated labor for them to build a wall. It would take dedicated labor for you and I to pray fervently, zealously. No one ever got up and went to work without having a mind for work, right? You got to get the mind for work. In fact, it starts the night before. You set the alarm and then make sure it's all in there because you have the mind for work. Mind for church. Mind to read your Bible. Mind for prayer. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Same context here about having the right mind. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, and then verse 1. Now, this is speaking about God-ordained authority. Even though there might be some cruel, wicked kings, there's still God-ordained authority. And so let's go to verse 1, Titus 3. Put them, these are believers, in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, you know, as best as we can. To be ready, what's that? To every good work, to have a mind to do God's work, even under evil authorities. I mean, that's, you know, not just say, oh, that's a bad king, I'm going to just not, no. As best as I can, live peaceably with all men, as best as I can, honor the king, you know, but obey God, and be of a ready mind to do God's work, even in these less than ideal circumstances, right? And so have a mind to work. You know, when they were building the wall of the wall of Jerusalem, it wasn't just some random wall. It was God's wall. And they had the mind to do that. When we go back to Romans 15 with me, this is the plea for Paul, for you and I to strive together with him in prayers. Look at what he says. This is our cause. Verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. It's his sake. And if you want to think of it this way, you know, maybe you're working a job and you don't care for the job, but you do it anyway. Why? For your family. Because you love your family. You take the hits and you go to work even if you don't like it because you need the paycheck to provide for you. You love your family, don't like the job, but for your family's sake, you trudge through the job, right? I mean, and so that context. In this here, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for his sake, because he desires our prayers. He wants us to pray to him. For after all he's done for us, for his sake and for the love of the Spirit. He's not being melodramatic here. People use it all the time flippantly, you know, to say, oh, come on, for the love of, you know, then they take God's name in vain. This is not taking God's name in vain. This is putting God's name as our cause, his love, the Holy Spirit love that indwells us. He wants us to pray. It's not just for the love of man that's in us. This is the indwelling Holy Spirit, his love in us. Yield to that love because he wants us to pray. That ye strive together with me. Come on, I mean, Paul's in there in the trenches. Like, come on, guys, I need more. It's like a tug of war, right? I need more on our team to pray. Don't not pray. Pray, pray, pray. Strive, strive, strive. Fight, fight, fight. Prayer is hard work. And we get in trouble when we think it's not. And then we sign up on the prayer list. I'll take this prayer shift. And then when it comes around, ooh, that was more than I thought. I can't make it. Oh, whatever the case is. You know, I've always been blessed by some churches. They do different prayer, around-the-clock prayer type of thing, you know, where it doesn't have to be here. But sometimes they've congregated at church. And they've done a 24-hour prayer thing. And different families or prayer partners come up at different times. Regardless of the format, prayer is hard work, and we have to have the mind to pray. Otherwise, we won't pray. He says, for the love of the Spirit, that is the constraining love of Christ. Because He died for us, we're dead to self, we live for Him. And so He wants us to pray. If you go to verse 31, the stakes are high. Paul is, not say guilt tripping, you know, he's putting a lot of emphasis for them to please pray with me. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. In other words, don't do it for me, do it for Jesus. Why? That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He wants mercy from the unbelievers, but also, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. He was going to those Jerusalem Christians that were financially needy. He had a love gift he got from Gentiles. And he's like, oh, I really hope they accept this. Pray that they accept this. So, but again, he was praying for the believers, that they would receive what God will have for them. And he was praying for the unbelievers, that he would be delivered from the unbelievers. That's pretty high stakes. And so we need each other's prayers. And eventually, of course, get to Rome by the will of God. You know, that was his plan, for God's will in his life. And so that's a big deal. And he goes out of his way to say, please strive to pray for me. It's going to be hard to pray for Paul, but please do that. You know, and we're going to break to get into our prayer teams here probably pray as a church family tonight. But we're going to take some time and get into our prayer time. It takes, well, no surprise, time. Prayer is hard work, and it does take time. We can't cut corners. We shouldn't cut corners. I wouldn't want something that mattered to me if the doctor was going to do a big surgery on me. I wouldn't want him to cut corners just to get done sooner. I mean, I want him to do a proper job. And so prayer is hard work. But we need to have the mind for work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thought, Lord, again, that there is a work to be done, a spiritual wall to be built in this spiritual warfare, and that prayer is the means to fighting this fight, this spiritual battle. We thank you, Father, for the privilege and the power of prayer. But let us, Lord, have the mind to work, that we need to gird up the loins of our mind. It does take effort and time and dedication, and it can be exhausting. It is exhausting. But Lord, this is what you've called us to. And so, Father, we ask that you bless even the prayer time to come, that it would be according to your will in the Spirit, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick...